I am so excited to continue this message that we started last week with Pastor Jen on Sabbath Deconstructed. Are you guys ready to move into this today? Yeah. All right. So last week, Pastor Jen gave us some of the intro to what Sabbath is. She gave us some really good background to help us understand what Sabbath is and what Sabbath is not. And we're just going to take a quick review of that before we get started with today's message. So the first thing we learned is that Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments, and that it actually has more real estate within the Ten Commandments than any of the other commandments. And we learned that work is required. Was anybody surprised that work is required for Sabbath? Yeah. So it's 6 days you labor and then you rest. So work is required. And we learn that Sabbath requires rest, right? It's a time when we stop doing and we just start being. And it's not just a nap. Remember, she said God didn't just take a nap, right? But it was resting and sitting back and enjoying the labors of your fruit, your creation. And so we learn that Sabbath is relational. We spend time with God, with our family, with our friends. We learn that Sabbath is not an invitation to law, but Sabbath is an invitation to life. Yes, it's not about enslavement or following rules or checking boxes. Sabbath is about freedom. And then we learn that Sabbath is a time of reflection. So we look back and we enjoy the fruit of our labor. We rest in the satisfaction of our accomplishments. And that is going to bring us to our topic today, which I'm calling the posture of Sabbath. So there's a posture to Sabbath, and this is not a physical posture in your body. This is an internal posture, a posture of attitude and a posture of your heart, a posture of your mind, what you're entertaining in your thoughts. And I want to suggest to you today that that posture is contentment. And so I just want to say before I go into this that we're all family, right? We already talked about we're family, we're doing this in community, and today we're going to plant a garden together. We're going to sow some new seeds into our community garden here regarding Sabbath. The message this morning is really about love, God's love for us and our love for him. And remember, we talked about it's not about law and enslavement. So this isn't about judging anyone or condemnation or being critical and checking boxes off and that kind of thing. What this is all about is what his love looks like to us and our love looks like to him. It's a relationship with our Creator. And so as we go through this, I hope that you'll learn what it means to really receive that gift of love. And as part of that gift of love, we have this inheritance, and Sabbath is included in that. We get to. We don't have to. We get to Sabbath. And so today we're going to learn some lessons from the Apostle Paul. If you remember, Paul started out, you first hear about him as Saul, right? And he actually identified himself as the worst of the worst. Anybody ever felt like the worst of the worst? And he ended up having this transformational encounter with the Lord on the road to Damascus that totally changed his life forever. And most people assume that that's the point when Saul became Paul. And it's a really easy assumption because we can identify Saul as persecutor, right? And we hear the name Paul and we start thinking apostle. So that must have been when it happened, right? Not really. So God didn't change Saul's name. He actually changed his heart. And Saul and Paul are actually the same name. It just depends on what culture he was in. So if he was in the Hebrew culture, he would have been called Saul. But when he's in the Roman culture, they identified him as Paul. So if we look at Romans 15, verses 15 through 16, Paul calls it a grace that God gave him, this shift, this encounter, this transformation that he had. It's a grace that God gave him to be able to minister to the Gentiles. And so he's going to give us a little glimpse today into what that looked like. We're going to get acquainted with him. His ministry spanned about 35 years. During those 35 years, Paul did a lot of suffering for Christ. And so we're going to look at 2 Corinthians and see what that looked like. Paul says, 5 times I received at the hands of the Jews the 40 lashes less one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I was adrift at sea. On frequent journeys, in danger from rivers, danger from robbers, danger from his own people, danger from Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at the sea, danger from false brothers, in toil and hardship, through many a sleepless night, hungry and thirsty, often without food, in the cold and being exposed. So we're told that Paul was in prison 3 times, and that during that time he wrote 4 different epistles. And Philippians, where we're kind of coming from today, is likely the 4th epistle that he wrote during his imprisonment in Rome. And if you're anything like me, I imagine you might be wondering, what on earth does suffering have to do with Sabbath and contentment? When I hear, I'm like, wait a minute, those don't go together, do they? So let's take a look at it. In Philippians 4, 11 through 13, this is our main scripture that I want us to learn from Paul today. Paul said, I have learned to be content, whatever the circumstances. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned the secret. So those are 2 words I want you to just kind of hang on to, learned and secret. I have learned the secret of being content in any and every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or in want. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And in preparation for this message, the first time I just sat with that scripture, the song by Maverick City popped into my head immediately called Gyra. I don't know if you're familiar with it, but there's a lyric in that song that says, I will be content in every circumstance. Gyra, you are enough. So what can we learn from Paul out of that passage? He learned to be content. He learned the secret to being content. And I think we should really pay attention and take notice. He didn't say, I learned this. I learned to be content when everything was going great. That's not what he said. He didn't say, I learned this when everything's going my way, right? No, he said, I learned to be content in whatever circumstance. Then he repeated that he had learned the secret to being content in any and every situation. So did any of you catch this secret? There's a secret to being content. And I think it's that very last part of that passage. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And so we're going to unpack all this today. And first, we're going to take a look at contentment, whatever the circumstances. So he said, in any and every situation. And do you remember what his situations look like? That suffering, beaten, lashed, shipwrecked, stoned, hunger, thirst, danger, exposure. So I don't think that's the place that we usually find contentment or connect with contentment in our suffering. And what I want us to get hold of this morning is that Paul didn't say he found contentment. He said he learned to be content. So as a matter of fact, he said it twice. He used that "I learned" twice. It's a learning process. It's not just going to fall right into our laps, right? Because life is hard. There's suffering. All right, church, you ready to go with me to learn what that looks like? All right. So today I want to challenge you to just step in and join me as we start to deconstruct what our current ideas are and our current strategy is for contentment. And I'm saying yes. Right up front, I'm just going to tell you, I'm bringing my yes. Contentment sounds really good to me. Pastor Jen talked about that Sabbath rest bringing us into tranquility. And I'm ready for that. So I want us to learn today, not from me, but from the Word and from the one who is enough, Jireh, how to be content. So point number one that I want us to take note of is that contentment is not found, it's learned. So this is where we begin Sabbath Deconstructed. And I want you guys to participate right now. Just shout out, what is contentment? What does that look like for you? What does it mean to you?
Peace.
Satisfaction? Yeah. All right, how about you online family? Just post in the comments, what does contentment look like for you? What is your perception of contentment? So some of the things that I found as I was searching this out, being self-sufficient, adequate, strong enough, possessing enough to need no aid or support, needing no assistance, independent of external circumstances, contented with one's lot, the state of being mentally and emotionally satisfied with things just as they are. And think back to Paul's things, right? Just as they are. If we look at the Hebrew, it means to be pleased. And then if we look at the Greek, they bring on the full force of the word contentment, saying it's more of an inward satisfaction. And with inward, that's described as a habit or a permanent state of mind. Heart and mind is what we're dealing with today. And so it's a satisfaction that results from a particular occurrence or an object. It's cultivated internally, not externally. And if we look into the Message Bible in 1 Timothy 6:6, he describes contentment as a rich simplicity of being yourself before God. A rich simplicity of being yourself before God. And so our second point today is that contentment is a response to the character of God. If we take a look at Matthew 5:5, we're told you're blessed when you're content with just who you are. Just who you are, right where you are. No more, no less. That's the moment you find yourselves proud owners of everything that can't be bought. And so everything we have comes from God first, right? He is Jireh. He's faithful to provide. He is the one who is enough, more than enough. And I wonder, and I would love for you guys to interact again. Do any of you know him as Jireh? Do you know God as provider? Has God given you provision and made a way for you where there seems like there's no way? Yeah. So as I was studying Philippians 4, I think Paul revealed the secret before he ever even told us that there was a secret. And he told us in verse 11, right? But if we go back and look at verses 6 and 7, he says, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. And as I was praying through this being the secret, I thought, well, what does that look like practically? How do we get there? And I discovered three things that I think Paul can help us to learn about this secret of being content. And when you came in today, you should have gotten a baggie with some acorns. And if you didn't get one, go ahead and raise your hand, and one of our connections team will get one to you. On the bag is written the word contentment. So this is going to represent that secret of contentment, right? And if you look in the bag, there's three acorns. There's a S, a G, and a T. And today, I talked about us sowing some seeds in our community garden. So we're going to do it in community, but we're going to sow them right into our hearts. And I believe that sowing these seeds are really going to help us to be able to step into that place of contentment. So the S on the acorn, that seed stands for surrender. Surrender grows contentment. The T stands for trust. Trust will grow contentment. And the G stands for gratitude. Gratitude will grow contentment. So how y'all feeling about those seeds? You okay? All right. We got three seeds, and I hope that today you're willing to sow those seeds with me. I really believe they're the secret to growing contentment, a contentment that's an inward posture, not something that's dependent on our external circumstances. And so we talked a little bit about how elusive our attempts are to find contentment. And for many of us, that might look like physical, emotional, or relational comfort. And it often looks like approval. Right? We want to be approved and pleasing. And so just ponder this question. You don't have to answer out loud, but how many of us limit the people, places, and things in our lives to avoid conflict, comparison, insecurity, diversity? And I think an overwhelming majority of us think contentment is only achieved when we're in control. Ouch. Are there any control freaks in this house? And so I'll say what Pastor Michael over at LifePoint says, come on, church, it's good to confess in church. Just go ahead and get it out. And we don't confess about our neighbor, okay? We only make our own confession. When we start confessing our neighbor's stuff, we call that judgment. And we don't like to point fingers here. We like to stick with just taking our own inventory. And so I realized that surrender can be really, really hard and scary, right? And so I just want to share with you for a minute something personal for me. I've been in recovery for 24 years. And so thank you. I really know what surrender looks like. Just to give you a little glimpse into my world and what that looks like, I'm going to introduce myself to you the way I do and celebrate recovery. And I always say, hey, forever family, my name is Shelly, and I am such a grateful believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to know that I celebrate victory over mental illness, alcoholism, substance abuse, and relationship addiction. So that is how I learned surrender in that process. And something that I learned in the first three steps of recovery is that I can't, he can, and I'm gonna let him. That's surrender. You let him. That's how we surrender. And it's kind of like the ABCs of salvation. I don't know if y'all are familiar with ABCs. Admit, right? I can't. Believe, he can. And then commit. I'm gonna let him. Yeah. So that really is the whole deal for letting go. And it's just surrender. And over the years, that there's a saying in recovery rooms called let go and let God. I'm sure y'all have heard it. And the question I've heard most often over the years in recovery is, how do you even let go? How do you do that? How do you get there? You know, people are like, I want to, but I just can't do it. And there's so much fear of losing control. People don't want to let go of control. It's scary, right? It's uncertain. It's risky. You have to be vulnerable. And so as I read through that scripture, I feel like I got the perfect answer to that question. I've never really been able to tell people exact. I've experienced it, I've done it, but I can't give you a formula. And in this scripture, he said, don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer, bring your requests to God. And so, any ideas about what the biggest obstacle is to surrender? Yeah, I'm a pretty big obstacle. I get in the way a lot. So, I'm going to suggest that it's fear. I think fear is one of the biggest things that stand in the way to us bringing our surrender. We have fear of losing control, which usually means fear of losing something we already have or not getting something that we want. So if we go on to verse 7 in chapter 4, Paul says, "And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." So when we surrender our fear to God through prayer, his peace that is so far beyond our ability to comprehend stands watch over us. He is standing watch over your heart and your mind. And his peace is so far beyond our comprehension, but I promise you, it's the word of God, right? The word is truth. If we believe by faith that the one who is more than enough has taken guard over our hearts and minds, you can get to that place of surrender. And so that is going to lead us straight into our next seed, which is trust. And trust grows contentment. And so I'm just going to dive right in here. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, and I'm reading this from the Message Bible. It puts it like this: trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. And right here, we might want to insert, let go. Just go ahead and let go. Don't figure it out on your own. Surrender. Listen for God's voice in everything you do. Everywhere you go, he is the one that will keep you on track. Amen. And so I said that surrender was extremely difficult, right? Now we're talking trust, all right? So trust might actually trump surrender. At least I think it does in my book when it comes to that difficulty scale. And I think it can actually be an obstacle to surrender. But yet surrender is the place that we have to start. It's a step of faith. And I don't know about you, but I could probably tell you for days some stories about betrayal. We won't go there today, but betrayal almost always results in really deep feelings of mistrust. Then there's anger, and then there's fear. So betrayal can even cause a significant increase in our need for that illusion of control. We never really have control, right? It's just an illusion. We think we're in charge. And so at some point, church, if we want to learn the secret to being content, we're going to have to posture ourselves before the Lord to be able to be refreshed in that Sabbath rest. We must surrender. I'm going to use a strong word. We must surrender. It's not really optional. We need to surrender our understanding to God. Stop trying to figure it out on our own by focusing on our problems, our fears, our anger, our insecurities, iniquities, and our lack of control. So I can't really emphasize this enough. You okay, Zaya? All right. Yes, we have kids in the house today, guys. Come on. I love when we get to have the kids in the house up here dancing and shaking their tambourines, and it blesses my heart. So we don't want to focus on our problems and fears and all of that, right? And if we want to learn that secret to being content, I'm going to say it again, we must come to a place where we choose to trust God with all of our hearts in spite of our betrayals and our fears. And so if we look at Romans 12, 1 and 2, and again, I'm using the Message version, Paul takes it a step further saying, so here's what I want you to do, God helping you. Take your everyday, ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life. Place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for him. It's about relationship, right? Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. We're dealing with our minds today, right? So instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from the inside out. You will be changed from the inside out. It's not going to be dependent on everything that's going on around you. And then he says, readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down. Anybody have people in their world that are trying to drag them down? Or any of the circumstances in our current season dragging you down? Don't let it drag you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you. You. God will bring the best out of you. He develops well-formed maturity in you. And if we go back to Philippians 4 and move further on into the message, we're kind of working back from where we started. So we're going to 8 and 9 now. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Come on. And so how do we learn? We got to practice. We're not just going to find it, right? So remember the title of our message today. It's the posture of Sabbath. So here again, we're going to deconstruct the way we're thinking and begin to posture our hearts and our minds towards contentment in Christ Jesus. If we spend our time fixated on our fears, our problems, and what we define as lack, because sometimes our definition isn't really so accurate, if we do that, we're going to miss the peace of God. And anybody looking for the peace of God?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, come on. So we don't always have a choice what enters into our minds, but we do have a choice about what we entertain. If we want to rest in the peace of God, then we're just going to have to settle it, right? Just like Paul did. We're going to have to posture our hearts and our minds on the truth, like he did in verses 8 and 9. And so this brings us to our third and our final seed that we're going to sow into our garden today. And this seed is gratitude. Gratitude grows contentment. And look, I just like taking a temperature of the room. Anybody grateful in here? Anybody have some gratitude? Come on. Yes, we just sang that this morning, right? Grateful. Lord, I am grateful. So I think the secret's more evident in Paul's letter to the Philippians in chapter 4:4-5, where he says, rejoice. Anyone rejoicing? Rejoice in the Lord always. Not when it's good, not when you feel good, not when it makes sense, not when everything's going right in your world. Always. And then he says it again. I love it when he says it again. I need things on repeat, because I forget so quickly. I'll say it again, rejoice. The Lord is near. And rejoicing is usually a result of our gratitude, right? So in verse 6, Paul says, offer our prayers. So that was the very first thing we got about the secret, right? Let's pray. That's how we get there. He says, offer your prayers with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is gratitude. So if we jump over to 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, Paul says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And just in case you're not convinced yet, if we haven't been on repeat enough, I'm going to jump over to Colossians. And again, why don't we just read this one together? All right? So let me step out of the way here. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Come on. I think Paul knows some of us personally. And did that maybe just for me. I don't know. Is the Bible all about me? He's going to put it in every epistle and just stay on repeat with that. I need it. So last week, Pastor Jen described Sabbath to us as being similar to Thanksgiving dinner. You guys remember that? How about you online family? You remember talking about Thanksgiving dinner last week? So she talked about it, all that preparation, hours of work, right? The turkey's in the oven all day long, and you're slaving over the stove, working hard, all your labor. And then you get to sit down at the table. The table has been set. You've got all your food. You've got all your family. Some of us have our friends all around the table, right? And don't you just love that moment where you sit down and you get to take a breath and breathe and just look at the fruit of your labor, right? Does that bring anyone contentment? And I know not everybody is the one that works really hard. Some are watching football and that kind of thing, right? But there's just that moment where you sit at the table. And so in the month of November, a lot of us know that as the month of gratitude, right? Gratitude month, Thanksgiving month. So do any of you guys have traditions that you do around the table at Thanksgiving? Like everyone circle around and just share something you're thankful for? Okay, online family, if you have any Thanksgiving traditions like that, go ahead and post it in the comments for us. We'd love to see what our community is doing here as we're working on our garden. You're part of that community garden too. And let's see, so I'm gonna encourage you. I love challenging people, right? 24 years of recovery, I've been challenged. And so we get what we get from the Lord, not just for us, right? But so we can give it back. So I give back challenges. I want you to try something new. When you've completed your 6 days of laboring, your 6 days of doing, your 6 days of work, and you get to that seventh day where you stop doing and you just be, I want to ask you to think about the seeds we've sown today. And before you really get into that moment of just sitting at the table and taking a breath, I don't know, you might need to take a breath first. Take a little inventory of your heart and your mind. Just pause for a minute and take a self-inventory. It's really something that you need in order to surrender, right? To know what you're holding on to know what you're afraid of, know what you're ashamed of, know what you believe is your lack. And then get before God and just honor Him. Honor Him with your Sabbath. Invite Him in, ask Him, Lord, show me. Put a light on my heart, right? And a few weeks ago in here, Pastor Jen did a message on the Holy Spirit. Remember that? And in that, we discovered that the Holy Spirit will teach us. The Holy Spirit will remind us. Hi, Isaiah. We got kids in the house. The Holy Spirit reveals things to us. So if you just do that little inventory and you're not really figuring it out, invite the Holy Spirit. And then I want to ask you, in that moment when He reveals, when He shows up with that light, trust Him. Just trust Him. Let go. I can't. He can. I'm going to let Him. Trust Him to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Let Him hold your anxious thoughts. He will. Let Him be the one who is more than enough. And then lastly, I want to encourage you to just take some time on your Sabbath to openly express your gratitude. And just like we do here on Sunday morning, say it out loud. Declare and profess your thanksgiving to the one who is more than enough. And some of you might even want to, here's an extra bonus challenge, right? Start a gratitude journal. It's great. It really reminds us when we get in those really hard circumstances and we think we can't be content, it really reminds us to look back in our journal at the things we're grateful for. So just give Him thanks no matter what the circumstance, because really, regardless of our circumstance, there's still so much to be grateful for. And as we wrap this up, I want to take a look at one more word from Paul, because he's given us a word today. And he says in 1 Timothy 6, 6 through 8, but godliness with contentment is great gain. And remember how the Message Bible put that? Rich simplicity of being yourself before God. We brought nothing into this world, and we can't take anything out of this world, right? But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Our God is a good provider, more than enough, Jireh. He is faithful. And we might find ourselves in a struggle to grow our contentment. And I want you to keep in mind that Paul did not just find contentment, he had to learn it. He had to learn it. So hang on to these seeds that you got today. They're not just a demonstration. I want you to take them home. I want you to keep them handy. And when you go into your Sabbath, grab your bag of seeds and remember about taking that inventory. Don't forget the secret: surrender, trust, and gratitude. We learned today the secret of being content, so we can't say we're uninformed anymore. And then I'm going to leave you with this. What kind of seeds are you sowing into your heart and your mind? Are you sowing fear, shame, control, insecurity, lack? Well, today Paul opened up our eyes and gave us some new seeds. And I want to encourage you to sow these seeds into your heart. And I assure you, it will produce the fruit that is the evidence of his love for you and your love for him. So what kind of fruit are you nurturing in your garden? Pastor Jen, you want to pray for us?
Amen. Thank you, Pastor Shelley. Amen and amen. You know, some of you know, several of us were away at a women's retreat on enough, right? Being enough. And one of the things that Pastor Jessica, who was speaking, said was, when we focus on what we lack, or when we focus on the flaw, that's the thing that becomes huge in front of us. And so, Pastor Shelley, I am so grateful that today you had us shift our focus, to shift our focus instead of what we lack, what we have in Jesus, to focus on surrender, to focus on trust, to focus on gratitude. How many family arguments at the Thanksgiving table wouldn't happen if our focus was on gratitude and trust and surrender instead of lack and comparison? How many Christmases around the tree would actually be joyful if we focused instead on what we didn't have, focusing on surrendering and trusting the one who can when we can't, and just walking in that. So Heavenly Father God, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for your servant who delivered your word with a surrendered heart, trusting you in every circumstance with great gratitude. And God, may we walk forward in that today. Instead of looking at our lack, God, Paul had contentment and gratitude in prison, enslaved, in all kinds of need. He was content because he knew that he had everything he needed in you. And so God, Holy Spirit, where we are striving and trying to control everything to get what we need, would you show us that? Because God, I know half the time when I'm being controlling, I don't have a clue that's what I'm doing. I'm so focused on what I need to get done that I don't see that I'm not trusting you, but I'm trying to take the reins. And so open our eyes to where we need to surrender. Open our eyes to circumstances that seem overwhelming. How am I going to get there? This doesn't make sense. These numbers don't add up. Or this disagreement has caused a wedge in our family for all these years. Or I don't know how my child is going to come home or break their addiction. When we have to struggle with that, God, will you remind us, Holy Spirit, to trust in the one who can, to trust in the one who can. Lord, and today we just declare with thanksgiving and gratitude that we are grateful to be your children and for you to be our God. We worship you in that. We invite you into our hearts. And Lord, help us, not just on Sabbath, but every day. Not just when it's good, but in every circumstance, to be grateful, to surrender, because you are Jireh, our provider. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand and worship with us?